Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Graham Potter has written a letter to the Brighton fans, and Andy Martial has dissed the dirt. It's Monday, the 12th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Lars Theorsen.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. Now, that really was a weekend like no other in the UK, of course. We would normally do our highlights from the action at this stage of the show, but on Friday afternoon, it was announced that no professional or amateur football would take place in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, and no senior football in Scotland following the death of Queen Elizabeth II. As on Friday, we wanted to bring you a show nonetheless. So, the EFL is set to recommence tomorrow, and the European fixtures in the UK set for this week are understood to be going ahead as things stand. Obviously, the Rangers-Napoli game will now be played a day later on Wednesday due to strains on police resources in Scotland, with events marking the Queen's death. No away fans will be allowed to attend, and it will be the same for the reverse fixture, I believe, in the interest of balance. So, it's going to be a tricky time for Premier League games in London next weekend as well, so there's talk of reversing those fixtures. But despite football's cancellation, cricket, rugby and golf competitions continued on Saturday, leaving some people to wonder why football wasn't given a chance to pay its respects. The Football Supporters Association now calling for fans who had already arranged travel for away fixtures to be refunded. So a lot going on there, gentlemen. With that in mind, before we go any further, it's good to see you both. Love to see you, Jim. And the Lars Volta is
yes.
here.
I'm back. It's good to be out and about.
Indeed. Well, I mean, it's a strange one for you to join us with. Obviously, there was all that there, Lars. But, I mean, Jim, what did your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts, I've been... essentially echo what's been said a lot in a lot of places. I think it's an unfortunate decision, really. I think it would have been a good opportunity for to use the games as tribute, essentially.
And that's what some people,
that's what a lot of people said should have happened. That's what a lot of other sports have done. As I understand it, it was the Premier League that have made this decision to postpone these games. Obviously, we're in a situation where the schedule is essentially as squeezed as it could possibly be. The expense that fans have gone to has to be taken into account. And bear in mind that the Premier League is a global thing. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people that have come from other countries that won't, that mm-hmm. where, you know, a refund on travel is only part of the situation that they have to now deal with as a response to it. I understand it's a very emotional thing for people. Some people take a different view and want to just have everything cancelled and you know, respect the period of mourning. But like I say, it was the Premier League's decision. Mm. Everyone said it's absolutely fine for you to carry on if you want to. My understanding was that this weekend just gone, it wouldn't necessarily have been a policing issue, whereas next weekend that might be more of the case, particularly for games happening in London. Also, there is still talk that Arsenal's Europa League game on Thursday might be affected as well. So again, that's like, what happens to that? There's no space in the calendar for that, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Arsenal and PSV can swap where the legs are, but at this short notice, that's complicated as well. So, I think it was a decision made to play things safe, but actually, simply was a slightly wrong call. And I think as well, also there's been talk that there is concern about what some of the reaction would be, and I think there's been finger pointing at particular clubs, and I think is unfair because no one's done anything yet, that hasn't happened. And also, presumably, when the games start again, there will be some sort of marking of what's happened. So you essentially just kick the can down the road.
Yeah, I mean, Lars, Jim mentioned leg swapping there. I mean, for a man who's had such a terrible injury, presumably you'd be up for that.
Yeah, more than happy to swap legs with someone. Yeah. I was watching some of the coverage on Thursday, and you know, again, not being much of a royal, not being a royal person at all, really. Let's just get that out of the way.
But Norway does have a monarchy.
I am not royal. I just want to be totally clear, not royal. Not being one for it. I was watching the coverage with some curiosity, and the things that kept being flagged up by these various royal experts was that Queen Elizabeth II was. You know, she was very devoted to her duty and just, you know, get on with things. The show must go on, you know, yes. And come rain or shine, you know, one must do one's duty and then things must go on. And also that she had an unusual bond with the common people was said a lot. I mean, I don't know her, so it's very difficult to me. I didn't know her. But the point is, I don't think it's very strange to sort of respect her memory by like inconveniencing people up and down the land.
Yes.
In a fairly performative mark of... I just think they were really afraid of like the Daily Mail going, you know, footy idiot spits in the face of grieving nation.
Absolutely.
I think that was the concern.
Also, I think...
Well, I don't know that was a concern, but that seems to me that would have been so.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think very often the worst is thought of football fans at every opportunity, isn't it? And even perhaps from the football authorities themselves sometimes. I think this might be a little bit of a case of that happening.
Football fans don't always do themselves.
No, absolutely not. You know, it's not entirely unfounded, is it? But I think it's perhaps it's absolutely over the top in this situation.
Well, you're right. We do have a royal family in Norway. Our King Harald.
Yeah.
King Harald.
King Harald.
Harald, yeah.
Huggle.
Huggle. Well, you just say Harold, it's easier for you guys.
Yeah, but I was going to say, yeah.
who is in the British line of succession. He's
is he?
Like number 80-something in the line of succession. So you'd take a very unfortunate and strange turn of events for that to become relevant when you think about it. Uh-huh. But he is in there. So, I mean, feasibly, that could... I mean, and also, whilst researching this, I looked this up. He has many honorary awards, as the royals inevitably do. But I noticed he's been given honorary freedom of the city of Newcastle along Alan Shearer, Bob Geldof, Nelson Mandela, and Shaka Hislop. And Greg's.
Yeah. So,
which I think is a dinner party we'd all like to go to.
So Greg's as an organisation, has the freedom of the city of Newcastle.
That is what my research indicates.
Does that mean that if
alongside
you,
like, the King of Norway, Shaka Hislop and Nelson Mandela?
I was going to say, let's not forget Shaka Hislop. Yeah. But does that mean anyone that works in Greggs can just sort of do what they
I
like
don't
in
actually
Newcastle?
Know what getting they, freedom of the city means.
No, I don't think I do.
Do they have to pay rent or something? Or they can, I don't know, a herd of sheep are involved or something? That's often the case, isn't it, with freedom? In London, the freedom of the city, you could what would be the word? March your sheep across London Bridge.
Something could like you? That. A lot of these,
which
are
would
actually...
be, I mean, I would be very, very strange to, if the King of Norway was marching sheep around Newcastle, on a Saturday
in
night,
the big market or whatever.
But maybe
by all accounts, he's allowed to.
And he was he's kind of old now, but he was very sporty when he was younger. Maybe he's into that.
Well, maybe he's into that. Yeah, do keep your eyes peeled for that. Well, of course, football didn't get a chance to do an official tribute on the weekend just gone. So I think it's not outrageous to suggest that football's main tribute came, of course, from a very worthwhile source in the form of Ray Parlour, who...
in many ways, the true king.
Well...
King of Romford.
Yes, indeed. He did a video of himself. There was a picture of the...
Jamiroquai.
Travelling Without Moving.
Possibly.
I think it was one of their albums.
Proudly not that au fait with Jamiroquai.
Uh-huh. And that was a big album, to be fair. It was, Jim. You know, I don't know.
I'm just shrugging.
Yeah, right.
I've fallen foul of this before. Is Jamiroquai a band or a person?
It's a band. Person.
Yeah.
Well, there we are.
Oh, my days.
Oh, well, maybe we don't know.
No, it is a band.
Oh, JK is, but he's also referred to as Jamiroquai. Let's not give him this much airtime.
Right, okay. Who else was in Wings? Ray Parlour, he created what he called a Cobra Bomb.
It's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is actually, it's not exactly what it sounds like. It's not a bomb.
Releases a lot of snakes.
What was the spirit used in the Cobra? You've always got Cobra beer, for those who don't know, which is an Indian beer.
Yeah.
And what was the spirit used?
It's Jägermeister.
Oh, it was Jäger. That's right. Yeah.
Jäger bomb, but with
of course.
So yeah, it's he just has a lovely little Cobra bomb for the Queen, doesn't he? Like, doesn't he imply as well that he's on the way out as well? So this is essentially like a livener before he goes out to presumably meet Alan Brazil, where they'll do their real tribute. It's amazing stuff from Ray, as it always is.
It really is.
Big fan.
Yeah. So well done, Ray.
And he's clearly in some sort... It looks like he's in a bar in his house.
Which he definitely is. So something we can all get behind there.
I know the Americans experimented with creating some kind of weapon that released a lot of bees.
Where are you going?
Really?
It didn't... I just think the Cobra Bomb, I think it's a really good idea for, like, warfare.
To be fair, if you're from a country where they have cobras and you heard about
I
cobra,
I saw a thing
terrified.
Over the weekend. It was really hard to find, inverted commas, normal news on the TV this weekend. I saw a thing from Thailand about how there are way too many snakes in Bangkok because of rapid urban expansion, so infringing on their habitats.
Okay.
So, like, the fire department, they have snake wranglers keep having to get the snakes in.
Maybe if news reaches them, Ray Parlour's the man to solve it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in the way St. Patrick...
he could be crucial to developing this weapon.
In the way St. Patrick got rid of all the snakes in Ireland. Gentlemen, as loathed as I am...
as loathed as you are?
Yeah, I want to go... Football.
You're not loath.
No,
people like you.
Would you like to talk about Graham Potter?
Yeah, why not?
He's published an open letter to Brighton and their supporters. This happened yesterday, asking for forgiveness for taking the Chelsea job last week. And he said, "I hope you will understand that at this stage of my career, I felt
50 million quid.
I felt I had to grasp a new opportunity.
50 million quid." And who amongst us wouldn't do the same? Let's
well,
be honest.
Potter's been handed a 5-year deal, of course. What do you think about this, Lars? It's a huge role for old Graham. He's been doing wonderful things at Brighton, of course, and the club was, even though it's very well run, his imprint is huge on Brighton Football Club, or Brighton Hove Albion, should I say? What do you think of him going to Chelsea?
Well, he's certainly, to my knowledge, the first Englishman who has managed both in the fourth tier in Sweden and one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Even Roy Hodgson hasn't done that.
No, he didn't go that far down. You know, he was afraid of the challenge. He couldn't, like, you know, the fourth tier in Sweden, very tough. But yeah, no. He's been on an incredible journey, and the joke's been made before, but if there's ever a manager whose career looks like a football manager save,
yes,
I mean the Graham Potter now with the Östersund to Swansea to Brighton to Chelsea, that is a lovely old job for someone who I would suspect of. I mean, I think really this is the thing with Potter, you worry that he's someone who quits without saving on the game, because he's made this rise is very improbable.
It is improbable, isn't it? And I suppose the danger, and you always got to respect a manager, I think, for kind of taking a job like that. And I think it was the same with Frank Lampard as well. Like, I think you have to back yourself in these sort of things and just think, you know what, I'm going to try and step up here. But the danger with it is that... Andy was talking about how actually he thinks this is almost a bit of a free hit for Potter.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other day, because actually his reputation will remain intact. But it's just it's the speed at which things snowball here. You do wonder, can he continue his own development under such pressure, which now speeds up?
Yeah, I mean, Lars, do you think that, because if we compare this to other countries, especially Italy, for example, produce a lot of top level coaches. This is just run of the mill stuff. You know, you look at some of the managers, their trajectories, and they go from middling or lower Serie A side to huge jobs. Do you think with Potter, you know, he is a different type of manager to the traditional British manager that we've come to know and love and loathe over the years? So it's not that outrageous considering the credentials he has, or we hope he has.
Absolutely not. And I've seen a few people suggesting that, you know, why would you leave a settled situation in Brighton, as the old Brendan Rodgers line when he was linked to Chelsea about how he's trying to build a career, not destroy it.
Or everyone who moves from Brighton back to London and all their mates going, but why would you leave? It's only an hour from here.
To be fair, one notable example was when Brian Clough left Brighton, things did go uphill. The point I would make again
is that if you stay at Brighton, what is likely to happen? What's likely to happen is that you'll have some kind of down period because, you know, at the end of the day, the squad has limits and you'll probably finish like 8th or something, and then you'll lose some of your best players next summer, and the year after you'll probably finish 12th. And at that point, no one's offering you top jobs anymore, right? Yeah. Even if you're very happy down there at Brighton. Whereas if you go to Chelsea, worst case scenario, the absolute worst thing that can happen to him is that he gets paid millions to go on holiday and no one will blame him because Chelsea sack everyone all the time anyway, right? So he has nothing to lose.
But he does have something. I mean, come on, I understand what you're saying, but there is a little bit of it could be a sour taste, because if he fails, we know what the Premier League's like. More, you could argue, more cutthroat than a lot of other leagues. You know, demand excess now. Yeah. I know that's
you're
the case.
It's a snake pit.
I don't. We're not going back to the snakes. All right, we're done with snakes today, Lars. Blimey, you're incorrigible.
I've been inside for a lot of the summer.
What would it be like if I didn't even have legs?
Not used to see people.
What if I had snakes for legs? What is this weird? But if it was a failure across the board, then actually some Premier League clubs and owners would just think to themselves, well, he can't cut it at elite level.
As Andy said, though, I think Chelsea is such a basket case that you get a little bit of a pass on that. I think
for fans, yes, but owners, do they care about that?
I think if he does fail at Chelsea, he'll probably get a job to a similar status of a club like Brighton. So actually, it's not...
David Moyes.
It won't be the end of the world.
But we are assuming that it's going bad, by the way.
Exactly.
So we should curtail that now. Yeah.
Well, so on that, obviously he's a really, really smart guy. Everyone says so anyway. And clever tactician. Obviously, Brighton, whenever you watch them, the thing that strikes you is that the players know what to do, which I think is always a sign of a coach who's doing a good job, whether you play in this way or the other. I've interviewed a former player of his who really spoke up, both on or off and off the record, that he's a sort of positive guy who likes to build people up and talks to them and tries to find what triggers each individual. You know, what are you in this for? What matters to you? Is it family?
Mark Cucurella?
No. And really finds out what kind of person you are, and then he knows what buttons to push to motivate you and all this sort of modern leadership stuff.
Hmm. All the stuff Billy Gilmore was looking forward to. Anyway, yeah.
So my concern would be, maybe at Chelsea, he's taking over a squad of players who a lot of them probably feel they've already made it. Like, I'm at the top now.
Yep.
So his way of motivating people and, you know, if you do what I tell you, I can help you get the most out of your career and all this sort of stuff. I wonder if that's going to hit in quite the same way. I mean, he might have to reinvent his approach to man management a little bit. Mm. I also wonder...
Well, he will, Lars. We've seen other coaches fall, by the way, so because of that very thing.
Yeah, just because it's a different type of dressing room to manage. They're
totally.
different type of people, you know? They're not...
But that'll be part of the challenge. He's never had that opportunity
before.
And so, well, as Jim said, you back himself and you think, if he's flexible and emotionally intelligent and all that kind of stuff, then he could do it.
And I would also say, like, you would have said exactly the same thing about going from the Swedish fourth tier to Brighton. Like, it's also a pretty big jump. So he's clearly a super intelligent guy, and hopefully that works out for him.
There's a huge opportunity here as well, right? Because obviously, by the looks of it, despite having given, you know, Thomas Tuchel a huge amount of money to spend and then sacking him, which does seems a little bit knee-jerk. The feeling is that he does want to be a little bit patient with Potter, and time will tell whether that's actually true or not. So Man City are so dominant at the moment. Liverpool look like they're waning. Essentially, the past 4 or 5 years, it's felt like those two, with everyone else trying to play catch-up. It feels like that's starting to come to an end now. So within 2 or 3 seasons, maybe, there's probably a chance for... There's a chance for Chelsea in particular to win the league, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a massive opportunity. Yeah, right. But that will happen at some point.
Yeah, he's not going to be there forever.
No, and there is an opportunity for Potter to be the guy that does that. And, you know, as a first English manager to win the Premier League, that would be absolutely incredible. So there's a lot of pressure, but actually, you know, we know what thoughtful person Potter is. We know how much he thinks in the long term. So,
you are right.
It's an exciting thing for him. Mm.
Do you think Billy Gilmore and Aubameyang have like a WhatsApp where they like, God, geez, that didn't work out, did it? Like,
I think
mistakes were made.
Two very unlikely people to be in communication with each other.
But actually, given the circumstances both of their lives, they probably absolutely clicked immediately.
Then off they went. Oh my days. When's the next transfer window?
Lars, what kind of football do you envisage Potter playing with Chelsea? I mean, apparently they are in talks with PSG's so-called football advisor, Luis Campos, to work alongside.
Isn't he like an absolute nightmare? Like a known absolute nightmare?
This is Chelsea Football Club.
Well, this is it. Yeah, this is despite everything we've just said.
What he has done, Campos, at Monaco and at Lille, is that he's someone who's good at... spotting like talents and players with potential, which is why after he was brought in this advisory role, that's definitely not a director of football. We're just apparently not calling it that. If you look at the transfer business PSG have done this summer, it's more like sensible, like Vitinha and Renato Sanchez, and like bringing in like sensible younger players. So that would seem to make sense in terms of the kind of players Graham Potter has a history of working well with. You know, maybe not superstar names, not very experienced with that, but in terms of molding slightly younger players. I think that this has actually not been spoken about much. There is a certain logic, there's a football logic actually to replacing Tuchel with Graham Potter, because Tuchel, much to our occasional frustration, is kind of obsessed with like having a good structure and keeping possession and all this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of the similar principles at play here.
So is Jorginho going to start? Is that what
you're
saying?
I think he might, yeah. Because
he's had a lot of wrath from some of the supporters, isn't he?
He's a frustrating player, Jorginho, because he doesn't do a lot of the fun stuff in terms of what do you go to football to watch? Like tackles and goals. Yeah. And like chaos, but he's very sensible 5 yard passes is kind of like not what you're
is
in
that
it
why
for.
He tries to make up with it with that penalty jump
maybe it's like I need a bit of flair now. I need to do something exciting,
quite possibly. What I'd like to do now is turn our attention to poor old Brighton, because they themselves are apparently targeting Roberto Di Zerbi, the former Sassuolo and Shakhtar Donetsk manager, and Kjetil Knutsen, yeah, the manager of Bodo Glimt. Can you tell us about him, Lars?
It's a very good manager.
There we are.
I guess if you've lost Graham Potter and you're looking for like a man who's done amazing work in the Nordic region, then Kjetil Knutsen is a logical man to go to.
Yeah.
Under his tutelage, Bodø Glimt have gone from being a club who were in the second tier at the time to getting promoted and then winning the league and then doing well in Europe. So he's a similar path, isn't it? Yeah, and he's an attack minded guy, a big 4-3-3 guy who believes in keeping possession and empowering his players to make the most of it. There's a lot of examples of players in Norway who've gone to Bodø Glimt who weren't stars at all and who have started playing football in a way we haven't seen them do before. So similar to Potter in the sense that he builds people up, seems to be. Again, you'd worry about how much of a step up it would be, but if he has a strong support structure around him, if the club is patient with him, I think that would be a very interesting appointment.
Oh, interesting stuff. Well, gentlemen, speaking of managerial appointments and Chelsea and Scandinavia and all this kind of stuff, you put all that together and we find ourselves talking about former vice chairman and co-owner of Arsenal and vice chairman of the FA, David Dean.
Of course. When don't we?
That's not the link, because he has started, he's of startling revelations, I should say, in his new book about Sven-Göran Eriksson, of course, once linked with Chelsea. When he and the FA moved to hire Sven Iguens for the England job in 2001, Dean asked Sven's agent if his client had any weaknesses. He simply said, women.
This stuff's never going to end, is it?
No.
We are never going to run out of this stuff.
Was it a weakness or was it a strength? That's what I'm asking.
It was certainly a talking point. Dean describes hosting Sven at Highbury to butter him up, so to speak. He said, when Sven came into the boardroom, I was standing with my wife, Barbara, and one of her attractive friends, Sarah, who happened to be divorced. Yep. Sven was quick out of the box, so to speak, and immediately asked Sarah what she did for a living. I design lampshades, she said. Sven answered with a smile, I need lampshades. I said, Sven, you're living at the Royal Lancaster Hotel.
What an insight into the way the man operates. Yes. Imagine, there must be so much stuff in his house he has absolutely no need for.
Hello.
Just the man's
whatever she
got essentially an unlimited budget for wooing.
Whatever
and he's
she said, I work for JCB. Oh, yeah, I need a digger.
I only design them. Well, I need them designed, actually.
I work for one of the world's foremost tampon manufacturers. And says, well,
I'm a contract killer. I know a guy I hate.
What a way to end the first half, eh? What a very happy ending. Right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Good Christ.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Cleared and yes! Winks can get it away. Lanzini!
Oh no! No, 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 no. Fuck, what a goal. Oh,
I thought that was Ray Parler for a minute. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The opening weekend of the WSL might have been cancelled, but Chloe, Rachel and former Spurs defender Rennie Hector have plenty to get stuck into, including Kira Walsh's world record transfer to Barcelona and the World Cup playoff draw. Search up front in your podcast app to get involved. Right, everybody, we ask you to get in touch, as we always do, at show@footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble with some nonsense. Jim, our good listeners have responded.
Yes, they have. So following on from Friday's Martinelli marrying an Ellie Martin chat, we've had a wave of palindrome-themed emails, or sort of palindrome-themed emails.
So please come back, football.
Yeah, Joe, Esther Cox says, following on from Friday's palindrome chat, another not quite palindrome for you. When you grow up with the surname Cox, you can't wait to get rid of it. My brother's first name is Isaac. True story. But I sadly discovered at a young age I could never marry Spanish legend Andres Iniesta. Esther Iniesta isn't the one. That's absolutely true, isn't it?
Yeah, Iniesta's pretty good.
I think so. I did make the point many moons ago that if Pete Donaldson, our very own,
married Solomon Rondon, and he peaked double barreled the name
Solomon Rondon Donaldson.
Yeah, I think
that's quite well. It's enjoyable. Personally, I'm all in favour of that. Yeah. But Matt T has been in touch, and he said, after hearing your discussion about Martinelli marrying an Ellie Martin, I was reminded of a girl I went to school with. My surname is T, and hers was Garrity. We would joke that if we ever got married, we could call the kid Gary, and he would either be called Gary T. Garrity, or the even more fun to say, Gary Garrity T, pronounced Gary Gary T T, which is the better pronunciation, to be fair there. Considering she was gorgeous and I looked like Peter Beardsley's younger, uglier brother, this was mainly wish fulfillment on my part. Also, if I ever marry TT Camera, he can be called TTT. Cheers, gang. Matt T, which would, to be fair, we know by now.
Good luck to you, Matt.
Yeah, good luck to you all the same. Good luck to everyone involved in that.
Gentlemen, let's go and talk about a transfer that's happening in Spain. Now, the transfer window may well be over, but it's still throwing up some stories. Rayo Vallecano's president, Raul Martin Presas, claimed that he was headbutted by Espanyol forward Raul de Tomas's agent, Ivan Garcia, during transfer negotiations.
Huge fan of this.
It's a hell of a claim, isn't it? Presa claimed things turned feisty when he accused the agency ICM Stella of damaging their own players' best interests.
I don't see how that's a rebuttal to that.
a head rebuttal.
I would like to see just the first conversation he had with someone else after. Like, how'd the meeting go? Well, you know, it started okay, and then it kind of went downhill.
But the first line of this quote is quite revealing on how his mind works. He said, it was a completely unexpected headbutt. But surely all headbutts are unexpected.
Well, I don't know. If you essentially wind your head up.
No, I think
lean back to show that you're about to drop the nut on
nobody
someone.
Expects surely, a headbutt.
I don't know, but
with the fists come up or it gets a bit feisty, people think a punch, maybe a kick.
You
is
don't
a bit,
see the headbutt coming.
You don't. Even if someone leans back, you think, oh, are they quite shocked or are they sort of?
It's a hell of a thing to do to someone because you essentially headbutt yourself by the nature of it as well. You take that. It's the angriest thing you can do.
Because hitting the nose, I think, is key here. If you just headbutt them in the noggin, then surely you will. Yeah, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. True. So you're also injuring your own head, probably.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go for the nose,
the squishy,
less painful for your noggin, very painful for the person receiving it. So you've got to get down a little bit.
A little bit of advice there from Lars. Yeah,
and then you drop a snake bomb on their house.
There we go.
Nice to know that Steve Bruce was such a successful negotiator. Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, Presser continued, it was the action of a criminal, a very cowardly action and a very shitty action, which is quite, because if he gives me warning, then we fight.
Exactly. Now, I would say the headbutt kind of counts as a warning. Surely that means the fight is on.
Absolutely.
I have to say, if I see
not
somebody,
like a dueling glove is needed, is it?
And certainly not at that point. I mean, once the nut has been dropped,
the fight has begun.
Yes. By the way, if I'm in a room with
some
people,
we're now officially in a fight,
and someone sticks the head on someone else, I don't really think of that person as a coward. If I'm honest,
it really depends.
I don't immediately think, oh, he's headbutted someone. He's given himself away. I can easily bully and manipulate.
It really depends on who you do it. If it's like a small child or something, you headbutt them, then you say probably a bit of a coward.
Yeah. If he gives me warning, then we fight. By the way, negotiations could turn a little bit feisty. Bring your gloves. Well, he was hospitalised, apparently, and Rayo issued a statement after their victory over Valencia at the weekend, confirming that he's made a formal complaint against Garcia. So despite this, it looks like they're set to finalise a deal for him.
Love that.
Yeah. So,
it worked.
I know you got headbutted, and this is quite bad, but
there's a TED talk in this, how headbutting people leads to positive negotiation outcomes.
Well, I tell you what, old De Tomas... his goal scoring record's pretty good.
RDT is a really good player.
I think you've got to look past the headbutt as the club look like they are and look at the goals.
No, absolutely. He's one of those players who probably should be at a bigger club, really, if you look at his goal scoring record and what he's done. But maybe
his agent.
Maybe having agents constantly headbutting people.
I was going to say, a bigger clubs where they can afford other players. Maybe they've just gone, we don't need this.
I like my nose.
Yeah, Very true. Very true. Well, staying in Spain, everybody, a story that that was covered on the Continent a couple of weeks ago is still rolling on. It involves Antoine Griezmann.
This is amazing.
It really is.
Spain is really delivering at the moment, actually.
Well, it needed to, especially after this weekend, Jim. He's on loan at Atletico, of course, from Barcelona. Now, Atletico will have to pay Barcelona £35 million should Griezmann play 45 minutes or more in 80% of the matches for which he is available over the two-year loan. Now, my stance to all this is get the cash in hand, okay? No, you know, get it done.
Get it up front.
Exactly. A bird in the hand, et cetera, et cetera.
So you've been a freelancer for a very long time. you don't want to chase that bag.
Do you know what I mean? Now, he played in 81% of fixtures last season. So this season, Diego Simeone keeps bringing him on for the last half an hour. He did it last week in the Champions League. He's been introduced in the 62nd minute against Celta Vigo on Saturday.
Now, Barcelona are furious about this as well. They think that because he played in 81% of fixtures last season, that they've already activated that and are owed the money. Clearly that appears to actually not be the case. It's certainly from Atletico's point of view. And I find it hilarious that Barcelona seem to think their problems are everyone else's to fix as well. It's like, they don't have to do you that favour. Like they could always have done this. These are literally the terms of the agreement.
I think this is what happens when you have a club like Barcelona. It'd be the same for Real Madrid. They are so dominant, those top two, in all aspects, that when somebody else kind of, and I know Atletico Madrid are a huge club now and so on, but they don't have certainly not the recent history, we don't have the history of the other two. Who does? But what, as you say, when they're, oh, we're Mexican club, everybody loves us and so on, I think you'll find that we have the upper hand here.
Yeah.
They just don't know how to act.
And they're also not big on fulfilling terms of contracts. I mean, this is what we've learned about Barcelona in the last year.
Quite.
They had this really weird thing with Ousmane Dembele in January, where they kept being signaled from the club that he will either, you know, have to reduce his salary or be sold. Mm. And he was like, no, mate, because he had six months left on the deal he was on. So he was just, no, actually not. And then the same thing happened with Frankie de Jong. The Spanish media kept reporting that, like, yeah, no, it's for sure de Jong will either reduce his salary or leave. I was like, no, those are not the two options here. He is under contract. There is very much a third option of him staying
None of you learned from Gareth Bale's situation? Yeah. Crying out loud.
You don't, that's not how contracts work.
It really isn't.
Someone needs to tell them. It's getting weird.
Yeah. But I think there is probably an element of, well, we're Barcelona or we're Real Madrid.
Absolutely. They're trying to throw their weight around.
Yeah, and it's like, no, that is a written contract. I'm sorry.
They're trying to throw their weight around on Diego Simeone.
And they're not going to win.
No.
They're not going to win. Gentlemen, a former Atletico Madrid striker is in Wolverhampton. Diego Costa, of course, is Wolves. He's moved to Wolves, of course, we spoke about on Friday. He posted a video of him on Instagram, of him walking through Tettenhall Village Market in Wolverhampton yesterday, which was quite good. What I did find quite odd was that the viewpoint from his eyes was very much of the predator. You know, just so people he just sees heats. But he walks among us, Jim.
He does, and it's kind of because it's been such a long time, around Wolverhampton. Been such a long time since he's been in the Premier League, and obviously he's been all over the place and kind of had a little bit of time away from football. It's kind of easy to forget quite how devastatingly good he was when he was at Chelsea. When he first arrived, he hit the ground running. He was absolutely fantastic. And I'd be very surprised if he's at that same level now. Of course, he won't be at that same level. But I'm intrigued to see what Wolves are getting here, because it's a good fit for both of them in terms of what they need potentially. If he's not got one leg in the knackers yard.
Yeah.
Yard.
Yeah. Well, we'll refer.
Hey.
Sorry, Lars. Speaking of people who've got one leg in the knackers yard, but you're right with Diego Costa. I mean, we do remember that time at Chelsea. It seems a long time ago. He hasn't played that much football, and fitness issues and so on and so forth. And you know, one might say his attitude has been questioned as well. But I mean, at Chelsea,
definitely would headbutt someone in the meeting.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, he did so well at Chelsea. One of the reasons was, I think, Cesc Fabregas spoke recently about when he played at Chelsea, and he loved playing those passes to Diego Costa, who indeed loved receiving them, and that was a very fruitful kind of partnership. So if Wolves can get something, I mean, they've got some players who can knock the ball around and feed a striker, and that kind of target man, if you like. You know, they're used to playing that with Raul Jimenez, like different to Diego Costa, of course. But I mean, what do you reckon, Lars?
Slightly. I just think I'd be very surprised if he was in a good enough physical shape for any of that to matter.
Well, I think that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never mind his sort of the last year or so where he's kind of not played much. Mm-hmm. But even before that, at Atletico, he looked like he was a bit of a spent force physically. So
I think we all want, if nothing else than for content reasons, we want this to work out and to be funny.
And, what do you think for Wolves? They don't score that many
goals. For him to be the footballing equivalent of a snake bomb.
Yeah, well, there we
Marcus.
Go. Of course.
But I'm not confident. I think I'd be very surprised if he was up to it physically at this point.
What do you think, though, Jim, if they can get some sort of tune out of him? They don't score many goals, Wolves, of course.
Yeah, but that's not what they're trying to maintain, is it?
No, but
you say that like, oh, part of their philosophy is not to score many goals. Diego Costa could well and truly maintain it. Well, I don't think that's their plan, mate.
Yeah, no, I did a bit of chaos factor.
Put Luke up front just to see what happens. Definitely not scoring. I mean,
the chaos factor he will absolutely bring. Yeah, that might be more off the pitch.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Not sure why my mind went to Luke there. That seems unnecessarily mean.
Well, he's not here, so you can.
That's probably it. Yeah,
not here to defend himself.
Yeah, you will be hearing from him.
Gentlemen,
let's stick the protective boot in.
Let's turn our attention to Manchester United, more specifically Anthony Martial, who has given quite an explosive interview to France Football where he criticised Jose Mourinho and accused Ole Gunnar Solskjaer of treachery. My goodness.
Treachery?
Well, it'd be interesting to see what you've got to say about your fellow countryman, Lars. But he revealed that Solskjaer forced him to play when he was injured and couldn't sprint properly, meaning he got stick from the media without protection from his manager. And he said, for me, it's almost treachery.
Almost treachery.
Yes. He almost broke the law. He's not breaking the law, of course.
On a general basis, like, I don't know the ins and outs of the situation, but I do think it's a fair point. I think more players are playing half injured than we're aware of.
Mm. Definitely.
And I think perhaps it would be not a bad idea for the managers to say so when they are, so that they're shielded some of the criticism that might come their way.
Mm. Is that not also, though, giving the opposition a bit of advantage?
Give him a kicking because he's not well.
Martial can't really run, so do with that what you will.
Yeah, that's actually a fair point. Yeah.
Or could there be an insurance issue or something like that? I mean, you never know with these sort of funny things.
And it is one of those things that football as an industry is very keen on, like pushing players to play even if they're not fully fit, which is maybe something the players should be protected from doing a little bit more.
I mean, Martial's game, is so much of it is about that explosive pace and that sprint. So he said it was very frustrating for him for that exact reason. And you know, I think it's not unreasonable. He has been hung out to dry there. Solskjaer could perhaps have mentioned it in retrospect, and the Mourinho stuff as well is.
But before that, I mean, one can forget that when Manchester United signed Martial, it was a long time ago.
Yeah,
I mean, he's 26. And yet
still feels like he should be, that still feels young.
He does, but I mean, that's what I mean. Like, he's been around for so long, and he's played an enormous amount of football. And when we used to say players would peak in their late 20s, maybe even some in their early 30s, was a very early 30s. Whereas now, of course, the chat is they play so much football at a very young age at the top level. You know, begin to burn out with these sort of injuries. So you've got to be very, very careful. But yes, he went on to talk about Jose Mourinho, and unsurprisingly, he felt that Mourinho disrespected him when he regularly spoke about him in the press. He said, he knew that I was 20 years old then, and that if I say something, it is I who will be the young person who lacks respect. And again, like Mourinho, we remember what he said about Luke Shaw. Now, I know Luke Shaw's not having a great time at the moment, playing-wise, but I mean, Ten Hag's not the type of manager to say some of the things that Mourinho did. So, yes. But Martial is currently recovering from an Achilles injury.
Yeah, and I think the big news is that the Ballon d'Or clause in his transfer has now expired.
Oh, has it?
Yes, because when he was sold from Monaco to Manchester United for a very large transfer fee plus some add-ons, one of the add-ons was that if he won the Ballon d'Or before 2019, United would have to pay Monaco some more money, but that did not happen, as you may recall.
We might not have had football in the UK on the weekend, but of course, elsewhere in Europe, there was plenty. And we've got to talk about Juventus' 2-2 draw with Salernitana, which just provided a whole weekend's worth of drama and entertainment. I mean, what on earth? It really was, right down to Juventus' choice of kit. It was
confusing when you're just turning on the TV.
Yes.
Because
they're the home team.
Yes, exactly right.
But Salernitana led 2-0 at half time, with Piontek scoring. I was always intrigued in places like Serie A where I remember when Milan signed him. I forget who from, maybe Bologna. He scored a lot of goals in Milan. It was at Genoa.
Don't give yourself enough credit, Marcus Speller.
You're right.
That's not true.
Yeah, I know I do deserve a bit more credit. Must remember to thank myself. But yes, but he was like one of the sort of People thought this guy's going to be one of the leading marksmen in, yes. in Serie A. And, but anyway, there he is at Salernitana.
Other people did not think that.
Well, indeed. And perhaps those other people were maybe correct. But he's still, you know, playing in Serie A, scoring goals against Juventus. 2-0 up at half-time. He very much enjoyed his goal, we should say. And so he should do. Juventus pulled one back at the start of the second half before they got a penalty in injury time, the 93rd minute. Leonardo Bonucci, of course, very reliable from the spot, missed the kick but scored the rebound. Mm. So 2-2 and away we go. And speaking of strikers and blasts from the past, Arek Milik.
Still around.
He's still there and he's still getting his head to crosses. He thought he'd scored the winner in the 95th minute after a corner came in and he rose like a salmon, and he does, and nodded it into the corner. Took his shirt off to celebrate, thinking he'd got the winning goal. Already been booked, of course. He was then sent off, second yellow, and it was announced that the goal would be checked by VAR. Now, that sparked an on-pitch brawl. The decision hadn't even been made yet. Salernitana's Federico Fazio, another one, he was given a straight red when him and Juan Cuadrado were caught up in a bit of fisticuffs. Max Allegri was also sent off.
Of course.
Getting involved.
And then Cuadrado himself was also sent off.
Yes, that's just the number of random men involved in this brawl. There's a lot of backroom staff and people just sort of, what are you
it's
all
like
doing?
It's like Italian
what?
Clubs just have people in reserve for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just glorious. And then Bonucci was considered offside for the goal, even though he wasn't really interfering that much.
No, he made a small attempt to head it, didn't he?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was a pretty big attempt to head it.
This, do you think it should have been?
Well, no, because we're getting to this
as we get to.
So the game ended 2-2. But of course, it wasn't fairly chalked off because Candreva is clearly playing Bonucci onside.
But when the ref goes over to look at it, Candreva's not in the frame because it's not covering the whole pitch. It's absurd. This is saying something. It's the worst execution of VAR we've ever seen.
I know. Brassel always comes on this pod and says,
"I for one am delighted."
Yeah, well, that's it. Brassel always comes on here and goes, "Well, see, in Europe, they always like they respect VAR and it's never a problem." It's like, well, Andy, there you go.
But I just think. I'm sorry, but Juventus, you cheated quite a lot for a very long time. Being caught.
The sins of the fathers.
No one has any sympathy.
No one feels sorry for you or believe you ever again. This is one of those things. So, you know, I love to see it. Should happen more often.
Specifically to them, presumably.
Yeah. Yes.
In the end, a good point for Salernitana, despite being 2-0 up. My giddy aunt. Jim, I believe you've got an email here to suggest that there wasn't just madness in Italy.
No, it wasn't just in Italy. It was also in Mexico. Fine, fine place. Cesar Hernandez has been in touch. He says, hello, checking in from Liga MX, Mexico's top flight, where two goalkeepers scored on the same day. On Saturday, Santos Laguna's Carlos Acevedo and Pumas' Julio González scored for their teams. Both goals were injury time equalisers, both were headers, and both players are from the same academy. Also, fun fact, Dani Alves provided the assist for González's goal. Is this possibly the first time that a league has seen two goalkeepers scoring injury time equalisers on the same day?
It's amazing.
Cesar, we simply do not know. We're not that sort of podcast.
I tell you what, Acevedo's goal, it was so quintessentially Mexican, the whole thing. He's wearing an all pink, sort of fluorescent pink number. Yes. It was a diving header. He's wearing a headband. He's got long hair. And it was just glorious.
It was just fantastic.
It's Mexican Full House is what it is. Mexican goalkeeper Full House.
Yes.
Was your joke in the pre-production meeting that you then failed to make on the... It's a very good line.
Sometimes I like an assist.
But I will say this, Cesar. And maybe you can get back in touch with us. But my impression is, like, if there were more hours in the day, the Mexican League is one I wish I could, like...
Oh, yeah,
because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, between covering the Premier League and trying to stay across European stuff, I just run out of hours. But I really wish there was time in the day to really come, because it seems to be a wild place.
Indeed. Well, I was there for a very historical moment, of course. I witnessed the 10,000th goal scored at the Azteca Stadium.
Wow.
When it all went off. And it was just as well. It was a powerful diving header from the
goalkeeper.
I said the home. I spoke about this. It was a few years ago, but while we're here. The home side was Cruz Azul, but traditionally Club America, but they moved there. And it was just as well. It was a worthy goal for it, because minutes before that, there was nearly a rubbishy, squirmy own goal through the goalkeeper's legs. And when the goal went in, there was fireworks, there was ticker tape, everything. And imagine that if it was an own goal for the away side. Yeah. It was a 10,000th goal! And everyone's going, oh, Gordon. There you've just got a lie, haven't you? You don't say, apparently the 10,000th goal may be scored in this game. So you could, no one's going to check. Who's going to count 10,000 of the buggers? So, yeah. But anyway, I was there and they were there and we all had a lovely time. Well done, Liga MX. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, and
there
we are. You know, we probably should put a call out for Liga MX correspondents.
Yeah,
so
actually,
do keep
yeah.
us posted with anything fun that happens there.
Yes.
Indeed. We want to you know, break it.
We want to break it. We want to break into it.
Like my leg.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Poor man. Everybody, tomorrow we've got the Football Ramble Guide to Special Moves.
Ah.
A certain Mexican may well be mentioned in that.
I just think so.
Myself, Jim, Andy and Luke each discuss our favourite signature moves, including...
That one is very good, isn't it? The one from a certain Mexican.
Yes, uh-huh. Indeed, yeah.
I hope that makes a big appearance. Yeah.
Well, it also included a certain free kick technique and one player at Stoke City who could really throw a ball. Mm. Then on Wednesday morning, we're back with another Champions League Ramble Reacts. Get all that right here on the Football Ramble feed. There we are. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lars.
Thanks. Sorry. It's good to be back. I'm glad someone's let me out the house. As you can tell, I'm not used to being among people, but it was really good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless you, sir. And thank you for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Laura Love, see you soon.
I said football in a really weird way there.
I did.
Football.
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 The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.